It's been a busy week. So yesterday afternoon, I had about half the sermon put together earlier in the week. But I had men's ministry. I had to get that ready to do that and then come home. And I just was beat yesterday. So for the first hour or so after I got home after men's ministry, I was just tired. And I'm going to go, yeah, Larry, you got to get a sermon done, you know. And Alice came home, and I said, you know, I'm going to lay down for an hour. And during that time I was home, I was just tired. And I kept saying, I got to go to lay down. And I'm going, yeah, but you got to get a sermon done. So I told Alice, okay, I'm gonna lay down no more than an hour. And so I went and laid down and sort of calmly resting. Oh, this is so nice. And then the Lord brought this story into my head and going, okay. And then the reference for it, I'm going, okay. I'll write that down later. I laid there for a little longer. And he says, this is what I want you to open with. I went, fine. I got up and went and started writing things down, and then I just kept going. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit when God says to do something. Even when he says, go and rest, you know, because his plan was to shut my brain down for a minute and go, now this is what I want you to do. Oh, great. I wanted to sleep. So that's what he got. You know, I got up, wrote it down, and got into it. And all during the week, it's Daryl and I did not talk. I had no idea what the songs he was going to bring. And they just really work. Things have been going on in so many people's lives, and the Lord's just been impressing upon me. And my sermon today is titled, When Things Get Tough. Life can be very unpredictable. We can hit sorrows, joys. We can get beautiful blessings. We can find distressing times. They all come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. Back in 1871, a fellow by the name of Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a very successful attorney and real estate investor. He was friends with D.L. Moody in Chicago. But he lost everything. Lost his fortune in the great Chicago fire in 1871. At that same time, just after the fire and things are going, and he's dealing with trying to get everything burnt down. His son contracted scarlet fever and died. He's got no business. His son has died. You can imagine what he's going through. Things started coming back a little bit, and he decided it was time. Maybe he'll go on a vacation with his family and sort of spend some time getting things wrapped up. So he booked a passage for a ship to go to England for a holiday. And then some business stuff come up. You know how that is. I have some friends that all of a sudden this week had plans and all of a sudden couldn't go. And so he couldn't go because of business, but he put his wife and daughters on the boat and sent them away. He said, I'll be there within a week. You know, I'll take the next boat, which is in about a week. So he put them on there. Halfway across the Atlantic, they hit a Russian ship. The ship sank. His daughters died. His business is gone. His son has died. And he gets a telegram saying the ship sunk. He didn't know. A few days later, he gets a telegram. His wife survived. She sent a telegram saying, saved alone. What should I do? So, of course, you can just imagine the state of his mind. He gets on the next boat, hurrying over there to meet his bereaved wives. All this other crap has gone on in their lives. And then about halfway across, the captain of the boat knows that he's gone through stuff, and he calls him and he says, Rachel, just wanted to let you know that this is the general area where the ship went down. You just imagine him looking over the rail of the boat. As Horatio thought about his daughters and everything that had gone on before, some words of wisdom, some words of comfort and hope filled his heart and his mind. And as the trip progressed, he wrote them down. And those words have become a very well-beloved hymn.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul.
imagine getting those words, putting them down after everything that he had gone through. God was speaking to him then. God was listening. Life can be messy. We all know what's true. Relationships, jobs, standing up for our faith, politics, economy, family emergencies, death, taxes. Too much month left at the end of the money. It can all drive us to frustration and despair. And if we want to look on the web and get some encouragement there, it seems like the world isn't the same situation. And if anything, it seems like it's getting worse. Stats say that people are more isolated, more stressed, more overwhelmed than ever before. And yet, if I look at some stuff from the 1870s, when this happened, that seems similar. I've been reading in my daily devotions from a book, compilations, a bunch of writings from A.W. Tozer, an Alliance pastor, that really hit the nerve. And you read some of his stuff, and it seems like it's just as bad. The major difference is we have social media. We can see what's happening, and it's right now. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. Just this past week, the Calgary Herald and the Journal ran an article after a survey of Albertans saying that 30% of all Albertans are insolvent. They're using credit to pay the bills. And 20% more are within $200 of being insolvent. That's 50% of our province is in financial trouble. The struggling oil patch, national politics, they're all impacting huge swaths of our population. Bankruptcies over the last couple of years have been about 1,000 a month. In the last quarter, they've jumped up to 1,500 a month in Alberta. Can you imagine the stress on people who are honest and hardworking, but are going to probably lose almost everything? Recently, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard about the fear and the stress of those who are in China with the coronavirus. It has impacted over there immensely. I follow a guy who's running a trike around the world, and he's based in China, a long ways away. But the videos, he went back to help his wife move into a different apartment and stuff. And he drove around showing the streets. Right now is the busiest time in the Chinese economy. Everybody's on holidays because it's Chinese New Year. It is a huge event. Right? The students get almost a month off because they got to travel. China's big, so they got to travel all over the place. It's the busiest travel time, the busiest time for restaurants, and it's all shut down. And I thought, being in business, some of those businesses rely on this economy right now, and it's dead. Restaurants are closed. They don't want people meeting together. It's crazy. So they got the stress of catching a virus, and they got stresses of can't meet with family, can't run their business. And I just think about the stress some of those people are under. People are facing major crises, but they're also facing the little ones, personal ones, involving maybe our town. Calgary had floods a while ago. You know, you look at what's happened in Newfoundland. They had all that snow. They had to have the army come out. Well, you can't run a business then either. You can't get around. And people are certainly, when you get 4 or 5 feet of snow in a dump, they're not going to be driving right? And even here in my own business, when it snows, I might as well not even go because people aren't driving around. It hurts the economy. How are they going to pay their bills? Crisis follows even maybe with the person sitting next to you. Maybe it is you or someone close to you. You know, when I first became a Christian, I thought the Christian life was supposed to be grand. No problems. How come I haven't gotten my portion of the American prosperity gospel? Where's that magic prayer? Where's that godly genie? Come on, I need mine. You know something, regardless of what and where crisis is happening in the world, it really matters when you are in the midst of it. It is a real crisis to you. We don't expect it, but it happens. Where is God? All of us have gone through stuff like this. A few years ago, when we had the downturn around 2008, 2009, we went through a bit of a crisis when the economy downturned. My staff left. Partly because they got a better job, partly because for a while there we couldn't afford it. And I remember going to my fitness class, and the trainer said, what's going on? I said, I'm just struggling. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I think I'm going to lose my business because I've got no more staff and I've got all this work to do. And so I need them, and I thought my business was going to go. So later on that day, I called Pastor Grant in, and I told him, you know, Grant was a friend from college, and been through many other things with him. And I said to him, he says, Grant, I think I'm going to lose my business. He goes, okay. Then what? Well, if I lose my business, I'm probably going to lose my home and everything else. And he went, then what? Really? I'm going to probably have to start over and get a job. Okay. Then what? Boy, at times, certain things can be said to certain people, and you just want to, but life goes on. A couple of years prior to that, my mother wasn't feeling well. And got a call to come down because they didn't think she was going to make it. So I had a big job I had to do, painting a car. I had to get it done. You know, I'm stressed out enough. And then the paint doesn't work. And these people were going away on a holiday the next day. They needed a car done. And I'm thinking, I got to get this car done. I got to go. I got to see my mom. And everything went wrong that day. And finally got it done. Raced down to Calgary. Got a ticket. And didn't know that until later. And I walked, got to the hospital, got a parking spot, walked in the hospital, and my family was walking out. I'd missed my mom. As I drove back to my dad's, I'm driving, I see kids still playing in the yard, ladies planting gardens, a school team practicing. I wanted to stop my car and jump out and scream, my mommy just died. But I drove on. I knew Jesus had promised a comforter, not a lifeboat or a go-kart. A couple of years ago, I was sitting in my garage on a Saturday afternoon. I may have shared this before, but I think it's important. I was working on my trike, just having a good time. Just, hey, this is a good time to be doing stuff. And I started crying. What the crap is going on? I can't figure it out. And as I sat there, the radio was playing. And I stopped what I was doing, and I focused on this song.
Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. It's easy to say when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith.
Song, it brings a tear to my eye, basically because I know that it is well in my soul. Just want to take things a little bit different turn for the moment. I want to talk about Romans 8:28. We all know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It is a very well-known, very quoted verse. But, you know, in the context of what's going on, it is a misquote. It's not a blanket promise to all individuals that God will turn all their mistakes and unfortunate circumstances into good. Even though it has been given great comfort to many in all kinds of crises over the years, it is a promise to those who have been called according to his purpose. And the good God promises those in relationship with him is not that we necessarily, those things are not necessarily what we would call good, but what God has determined to be eternally good, which the writer of Romans clarifies, Paul clarifies in the next verse. He says in 8:29, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, if you are loving God and seeking his purposes in your life, he's going to allow all circumstances, good and bad, to make you more like Jesus. That is the good that God works out in all of our circumstances. If we surrender them to him and we become more like Christ, it prepares us. Remember, our time on this earth is not, well, it's short compared to the rest of eternity. God places things in our lives to help us trust him, to depend on him, to prepare for eternity. I remember seeing Francis Chan, a sermon he did years ago, and he brought out this huge coil of rope and threw it, you know, most of it, and he held up the little end, and he says he had taped up the end of it, and with a little thin piece of tape at the very end of this, humongously, I think it was like 500 feet long, whatever. And he said, see this little red piece of tape? Of course, everybody's going, no. He goes, this rope represents eternity. And this little thread around the end, little piece of tape, is your life here. You've got all this to do yet. This little bit is what I'm using to prepare you for the rest. We have to keep that in mind. But Pastor Larry, it hurts so bad now. I know. So does God. He knows. Proverbs 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. God sees and knows your struggles. It's interesting to the two songs we just watched. When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul. Even though the authors knew that troubles are there, God is there, God's listening. And if we know that in our hearts, we can sing. It is well. Jesus went through the same magnitude or even greater trials than we have. He can relate to your pain. God hears, and he doesn't ignore you. He says in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. Some of the promises that we can cling to. Hopefully we can be reminded when we're on our own struggles. Again, Psalm 34:18. It's a powerful declaration. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and serves the crushed in spirit. Our work is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so, dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. We can rest in Christ. There's no room for quitting when things get tough in God's kingdom, but there sure is more than enough room for resting. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest in your souls. Because God fights for us, we can lay down our armor ever so often to allow the shepherd to lead us to green pastures and quiet waters. We need to take the time to rest and be quiet in him. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Those who struggle will always come out of a struggle with scars. But they will also come out stronger and better. That is God's promise to you if you're struggling. Though we can't always improve our external circumstances, we have control over our internal character. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whatever you face, trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of our faith produces perseverance. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest upon me. Then that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's power works best in our deepest weaknesses. It doesn't always feel good to admit those weaknesses, but it gives God an avenue to show us what he's really capable of if we allow him to work through us and through us and through our situation. Ask the Lord to come to calm your restless heart regarding your finances. Luke 12, 29-31 in the New King James Version says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need. But seek the kingdom of heaven, and all these things should be added to you. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do our part. We need to be good stewards of what we have. We have to be an excellent employee. Sorry, James. James is an excellent employee. And I thank the Lord for him all the time. But we need to be good stewards. We need to do our best. Doesn't mean struggles aren't going to happen, but they're there. A couple other verses. 2 Corinthians 1, 4-5. He who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so our comfort abounds through Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we need to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. If you are in crisis, God said he would be there. He provides a comforter. We need to develop our relationship with the living God. We need to develop the habit, make time, make it a priority to read God's word. It is God speaking to us. And if he speaks, we need to listen. Listen. Be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit prompting you. If you are in crisis, the church can help a bit. We have a benevolent fund. Sometimes we can help things get over. Talk to Pastor Shannon or myself or an elder, and we'll see what we can do. If you are in crisis, we want to pray with you right now. Dick gave me something here, so. So I want everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're struggling with an issue, big, small, little, whatever, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Larry, Pastor Larry, I need help. I need God's help. So if you have an unspoken prayer request and you want prayer for, I want you to raise your hand. Let's pray. Lord, you hear us when we are in dark places. You hear us. You don't ignore us. And Lord, this morning we have people who have raised their hands. Lord, you know what's going on in their lives. Lord, come beside them. Place your great and glorious wings around them and comfort them. Lord, we have sorrow in our congregation now. Lord, we pray for Marjorie and the loss of her granddaughter. Pray with the family, Lord. Be with them. Lord, I know that Marjorie just was so concerned over her family. I pray you be with her and them. Help them to trust and lean towards you today. Lord, we have others. We pray for Kaylee that you continue to heal her and uplift her. And Lord, it impacts the whole family, Trish, Matt, and the other two. It's a struggle, but they have confidence in you. We see them each week come. We see how Kaylee's been able to come. Lord, we just rejoice and thank you for how you've worked in that situation. And I know there's other struggles coming, and I pray you'd bless them and watch over them and meet their needs. Lord, we have friends here that are going to be traveling. We have several friends of ours, Keith and Joy and Darcy and Susan and others who are going away. Wayne and Judy are going away. And Lord, they're all concerned about this coronavirus. Lord, I pray you would just bless them, Lord. I know that there's at least one cruise ship that is in quarantine. Thousands of people. That affects everything in their lives, Lord. Not just their vacation, but their jobs, their families, everything. And I pray you just be watching over them, Lord, that you would give them peace. That there's Christians on those ships, Lord. Help them to be shining lights of hope. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those who trust in you when they're sick. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Thank you. Today, if you're in crisis, we are a community. We need each other. Humility, shyness, I'm not that kind of person. Pride has nothing to do with your issue. You're not alone. Someone here has probably gone through similar times. If you want, you can come up after the service. There'll be some elders and some ladies here to pray with you. And if you don't really feel like doing that, then call upon Pastor Shannon during the week or myself. But talk to one of the leaders. even your small group leader. We're even mentioning these things in your small group during the week. But talk to somebody. You're not alone. Today, if you're in crisis, we hear you. God hears you. And it's here that if you let him in, you are not alone. But I want to encourage you. Here's a little song that I thought was really great. Listen to the words here.
When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Count your blessings. Psalm 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." We're going to play one more song as you leave, but if you want prayer this morning, come up and someone will meet with you, okay?